Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yeah!
Woo!
It is October 8th, 2014. Just saying it so I can prove we're actually live and real!
2012! Super Bowl.
Dude, I'm so glad we recorded this 6 months ago to make it feel like it was a real show.
That's right, guys. Man, we're hearing things going on in the media, overseas,
the
lots
media.
Of stuff.
It's the
we
media.
Hear it could be crazy.
Dude, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Dude, did you guys hear about the tsunami?
No.
Yeah, man. Huge freaking tsunami.
Are you being snarky right now? I got serious.
I was trying to think about. I was like, what are some news stories that happened a long time ago?
Yeah.
There was probably a tsunami.
Good
grief. Oh man.
I think that was last year. I don't know,
dude. Did you guys hear about freaking Miley Cyrus? She was like with Robin Thicke. They're doing this
crazy VMAs.
It was insane.
I didn't see it yet. I heard rumors that that LeBron James might go back to Cleveland.
What?
Yeah, it's
what
crazy.
The crap.
Spider-Man movie was good.
I read that there was like a little bit of unrest with the front man of Coldplay, Chris Martin's marriage.
No,
I
hope they're okay. They've got to be okay.
I know.
Do you guys
he's got
hear
a new
J-Law
CD. Dude, he's got a new CD coming out soon, though.
No way. Yeah. Super couple. They'll never break up.
I hope this summer's not hot.
Dude. You know, speaking of, the Angels are looking pretty hot right now,
dude,
though.
They are. Finally
they've
figured
got a
out.
Chance to make it to the postseason.
They really do. The
they've
A's
got
are
a chance.
Still a division lead, but, you know, we're only a few games behind. I feel like we can make it to the playoffs.
I think we got a good – I think if we get to the playoffs, we're definitely going to win, though.
Absolutely.
I think if we make it to the playoffs, we're gonna really rally and do a good job.
Dude, if we fight all the way back from where we're at now, there's no way we won't just win the World Series because we'll have to fight really hard to get to the playoffs.
Dude, but you know who's really looking good is Boston, man. They're really looking good.
Yes, dude. I know. It's
crazy. I think they're going to go all the way.
Definitely. Yeah. Great stuff going on right now. What about the Blue Jays, man? They're still looking pretty hot right now, right?
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
I saw one outside my window the other day.
That's cool.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. We really are here.
That's
it is
right.
October 8th, 2014, and the phones are already lighting
up. Dude, my mustache is literally touching the mic right now.
Whoa! He's massaging your microphone with
good.
His mustache.
I like
you can
it.
Only see me now.
Could only see me now, Mom.
505.
These things get smelly. We need to wash these.
They do. 338.
I know that I'm smelling Matt's spit right now.
You really are.
I do spit on that.
I just rubbed my mustache on Matt's spit.
Like full on spit.
Matt, we basically just made out.
Good. It's fine. I'm confused, but that's fine. That's what Shock Therapy Live's for.
That's what it's all about, man.
Identity Quest, man.
338.
The newest video game. Identity Quest. Who am I? I don't know.
Are you Jason Bourne?
Shut up, both of you. I'm trying to do the things I'm supposed to do.
Do them.
505-338-3700.
This is why shock therapy is fun.
Exactly. It's been too long, man. I'm so excited. 338-3700. Phone lines are out. I'm just going to kick it off with a phone call.
Let's
I don't
do
even
it.
Know whether, what's going on. Static.
What's up, dudes?
Hey. What's up, man?
Dude, you guys are gross, Nate. Nate.
What are you talking about, man?
What, dude?
This is a pre-recording. This is pre-Nate.
Oh, well, I changed well, since I'm calling then. From 6 months ago.
Okay, dudes, cool. Dudes rock mustaches
in 6 months,
and make
I'll be so much.
Time,
in 6 months,
Mercury?
I'll be so much different.
So much different.
Listen, man. Dude, I've just been watching a lot of the news, and I think, you know, just as a father of three and seeing what's going on with this Islamic State, you know.
Yeah, man.
You know, just watching, you know, and I'm not one of these hypersensitive people to stuff that's going on, but, I mean, to not be aware, I think, is kind of, would be kind of dropping the ball on my part, but getting reports that we've got radical members of Islam in Mexico City using that border to kind of infiltrate the U.S., and then we've got Americans with passports, you know, over there fighting with ISIS on their side, and then with the potential to return to this country. My question is this, you know, when and where, you know, scripturally, like biblically, when and where is it okay to take up arms against your enemy?
Ooh.
So that's my question.
Wow. Okay. Before we even get to it, I'm going to preface this. MyStaticRadio.com, there's a Theology Thursday show. The entire show is dedicated to war and the four different views biblically.
Crap. So whatever I say is going to be compared to Brian Nixon?
No, I'm just saying, like...
Dude, I'm out of here.
No, luck, don't mate. Go. Don't go. I'm just saying, that's a really big question, man. It's like, hey, man, when can I shoot my neighbor? You know, like...
Well, he approached
it. And that's the other thing. Like, I want to be really delicate about this. Like, dude, I've got no problem with Muslims, that are... You know, peace-loving people that are following their faith. I don't. You know, I have no problem with anyone. I'm just.
You want to know when it's okay to shoot him.
Yeah, I just want to know when it's all right to put him in the crosshairs and light him up.
Okay, I understand that. I feel that way about Steve-O sometimes.
But I
want
to be sensitive.
I want to be sensitive to this. Yeah, when's it okay to pull the pin and throw the grenade? Right.
Thanks for the call. Speaking of, did you see the latest episode of Sons of Anarchy?
No. No, I don't watch that show anymore.
Okay, yeah, don't.
So, Brian approached it from, like, theology, like, four different...
And, yeah, like, it was views. Like so pacifist versus, like,
this would be more
justifiable
like
war.
Yeah, like the heart.
Well, this is the thing. I don't think it's ever okay to go, like, vigilante status. Like, we were just talking about arrow. Yeah. Like, it's not okay to get a bow and arrow, get a compound bow, and go around and shoot Muslims. Yeah. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah, Muslim, you have failed this city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arrow. Gosh.
So, it's not okay to go vigilante status, and so, like, I hear people all the time say, man, I wish I could get a gun and go there to Iraq and go shoot people, and it's like, well, that's not a good view.
No.
And they think somehow when they say that, it's like righteous. No, that's righteous, man. That's righteous indignation. That's blah, blah. And it's like, no, that's not.
No.
God has provided for us governments for that purpose. And the Bible says there's a time for war, and there's a time for peace.
Yeah.
And when a government steps in to fight for the injustices that are happening in the culture, these wars because people are getting killed, because people are taking their freedoms, their religious freedoms away. If a government steps in to fight that war, then I always talk to soldiers because soldiers struggle with this a lot. Like, man, is it okay for me to shoot this person? You know, and a lot of them struggle. Some struggle, some don't. We just had Dave Eubanks here, and he was like, you know what? If I'm honest, I really like killing people. Like, I really enjoy it. And he was saying, like, you know, there's times when I'm out in these places in Sudan, I'm dealing with these things, and my flesh just wants to go get a gun and just go mow these guys down.
Yeah.
And he said, but I realized that as much as I could, is that really what God wants me to do?
Right on.
And
so that was a perfect place to take it.
And so I think that, you know, we've got to look at this. And when we have wars and things like this, we are to believe that the government that God has placed over us is there to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have things like police officers or you have people who are in the army or people who are in other kind of armed forces, when you have those kind of people, then they are truly fulfilling what the Bible says in as honoring the government, you know, trusting the government that God has put in place. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace. There is righteous warfare. There is righteous indignation. And so I think it really depends on the situation when it comes to that. Am I advocating that if you're not in an army, you're not a police officer, that you should never shoot anybody? No, if someone comes into your home and they're threatening your family.
I wanted to go there, actually, because you, sir, had just cause to enact that justice.
I just didn't have
a
gun. Otherwise, I would have probably taken a life.
See, and that's what that's what I wanted to talk about, really. When that nude Native American dude broke into your home, you had justifiable cause to take that dude out for the sake and safety of your family, and you did not. I believe you were spirit-led in that moment as to not take anybody out.
I think I was spirit-led in not having a gun, honestly. Like, because, you know, now granted, I had a golf club, so could I have gone and beat the guy to a pulp? Yeah, I could have. Mm. But at the same time, I think that, you know, no matter, even police officers who have, you know, the law and authority to take a life, they don't just shoot first without asking questions.
Right.
You know, so the first thing I did is I was like, dude, what are you doing here? And I could immediately tell he didn't like try to run at me or jump me or attack me. So it would be foolish to just be like, oh, there's a guy in my bedroom, gun, boom. Okay.
Right.
Now I'm going to ask him who he is and what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, you always kind of want to ask questions and you know, you kind of want to probe that. But at the same time, the police officer told me when he came, he said, you know what? You got really lucky and so did he, because he said, I've been to a lot of calls and I have never seen a naked guy in someone's house who wasn't there to rape that person or that family.
Right.
Um, And he was also saying, you know, I've also been to a lot of responses, and I've never seen a naked guy show up in someone's house and not be shot.
Right.
He said most houses here in Albuquerque, if he would have shown up, he'd be dead right now.
Absolutely.
But then he told me, he said, do you have a gun? And I said, no. And he said, he turned to my wife and he said, you need to go get your husband a gun today. He said, and I said, well, you know what? I'm kind of glad that I didn't shoot him, because if I would have, I would have felt really guilty. And he said, here's the thing. If there's a naked guy in your house, you don't know if he's there harmlessly or if he's there to rape your wife and kids.
Yeah.
And he said, who would you rather have to live with as far as in your conscience that you couldn't protect? This man who showed up naked in your house or your wife and kids?
Yeah.
You know, who are you going to feel more guilty about getting hurt and harmed in that situation?
I've had multiple friends, not just you, and another dear friend of ours who, similar situation, there were people trying to get into the home. Praise God that he was able to fight them off at the door, and nobody was killed in that moment, but it was the very same conversation with the police, and dude now has a handgun in his home for that reason.
Well, you know, I was researching the other day, you know, really the best line of defense for your home really isn't a gun. It's really a moat with alligators. I found if you can prevent them from getting to your door.
I was like, no, he's being serious right now, because I was going to say the best defense is a good offense.
Where do you guys get water around here?
Yeah, we are in the desert.
Elephant butt.
He's still complaining about being in the desert because
there's elephant butt.
He was talking about the stuff called grass. I've never seen it before.
Dude, it's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Okay, this is like confessions time. No, I overwater my grass.
Nate,
come on.
If it was in the front yard, I'd get fine, but it's in the backyard, so.
To our caller, if you are interested in that, it talks in Romans 12, and of course Romans 13 is where it talks about submission to the authorities. The reason I point out Romans 12 is because in verse 19 it talks about vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And then in Romans 13 it talks about those in authority who are those who carry out that vengeance. So it's not just like, oh, the Lord's going to strike him dead. No, he uses the governing authorities for that reason. They are his enactment of justice, if you will, and vengeance, if you will.
Well, and you see that throughout the Old Testament, even in the New Testament. Even you go to the New Testament, you know, you got a country like Rome, who was famed for its warfare and conquering of territories. And you see no reference in the Bible of Jesus telling the disciples, you know what, you should rebel against Rome because they're evil, because they have these wars. No, in fact, he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. You know, and when we're talking about taxes, he's advocating that we should pay our taxes, and our taxes go towards the support of our armies and the support of the wars that our armies carry out. And so, whether we agree with the war or not, we're still called to support it with our taxes. We're still called to believe that the government that God has put in place is going to make the right decisions to lead us where we should go. Yeah. And even if we don't think they are, we're still called to support and we're still called to submit. But don't go vigilante status, go punisher status, get a bunch of guns and drive around with a skull on your shirt.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
That'd be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I don't like it.
It's Shock Therapy Live.
So bad.
Steve-O, Pastor Nate, and of course,
you guys remember Strong Bad?
Yes.
Of course.
I was the other day at Danica and Jasmine's desk, and I was talking to them. I just walked back, and they walked past, and they're like, hey, Nate, how you doing? I was like, Danica, burning it in the countryside. And she's like, huh? Aww. And I was like, hey, you've never seen Strong Bad, Trogdor? No? And so I played them the Trogdor video, and they kind of gave me like the little look and the smile like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's,
welcome to my world every day. I hate being older than you guys because I always reference things. And except for Mateo, who was like somehow in the culture even though he was younger, most people just go, I don't know. Who's Nirvana?
Come on.
What?
I had Nirvana when I was in school.
Shut up. You were about to say in like second grade, and then I was going to have to fight you to the death.
I took a class in college called Nirvana.
When I was in junior high, we started a Nirvana cover band to play Smells Like Teen Spirit from cover
to
cover.
No, you didn't.
We really did.
Are you serious?
I was in a Nirvana cover band,
and I played guitar really poorly. What is it with you and your dad in cover bands? Like,
well, like, Nirvana was way easier because you really don't have to sing. You can just be like,
that's true.
Marbles in my mouth.
Yeah, that's
marbles.
Very, very true.
Marbles.
Amazing. It's Shock Therapy Live. Hang out with us. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Being that we've been gone for so long, we have about 114 emails.
And here's the thing. We've been gone for a while, but I'm like your scorned ex-girlfriend. If you don't call me, I'm going to go right back to where I was before. I'm not going to stick around here and be strung around and be held in the wings.
Tell them, Nate.
I'm either here for you or I'm not.
If you want
a relationship, then be upfront and honest with me. If you don't, then I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat ice cream for a week.
So. Me out or not, Creed.
Yeah, come on, man.
Dude.
There
you go. Commit.
This is the thing.
Commit.
Quit playing games with my heart.
Okay.
Yep. I think the Backstreet Boys were in my dream last night.
What?
I'm not kidding. I think the Backstreet Boys were in my dream last night. Because we said something earlier, and I had this brief flash from my dream, and I think I was in a theater, and it was the Backstreet Boys, and Aaron Carter was there, too.
It's a great dream.
I don't know why they were talking. They were judging something.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
You are...
Okay.
My
I'm in between you two. This is really... I just feel so uncomfortable.
Don't feel uncomfortable. Just be a part of things. Hey.
Doug.
No, don't reach out to Doug.
He's reaching out. Doug, he's reaching out to Matt through me.
In that way, tell me why.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I just,
it was weird, though. In my dream, I feel like they were judging a competition, and I remember looking over and saying, oh, he brought his little brother. That's the whole scene I remember.
What was the competition they were judging?
I don't know. I can't
Who
remember
Who has the
else.
Widest clothes on?
It could have been, honestly. Mm. It could have been.
Help me, Doug. Help me, Doug. Help me, baby Doug. 505-338-3700, or of course, studio at mystaticradio.com. We have a ton of Shock Therapy Live questions we've got to get to.
This is so much more fun, though. This is way more fun.
People have been waiting
since clearly no one's listening because no one's calling.
No, no.
So if we think about this, no one's listening. So if we were to answer all the email questions we have now, all the people who wrote them won't hear them. Because they're not going to know that Shock Therapy Live's back.
Like, highest podcasted show for us.
Okay,
come
so
on.
Right now, everybody needs to pull out their phones and text a friend and say, hey, Shock Therapy Live's on right now.
It's live again, guys. It's live again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show them some love.
There you go. All right.
And it's really live. It's not like live how we said it was live for the past 6 months where it really wasn't live and we were lying to you.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the lies we were telling you. This is like the truth.
I wonder why there aren't any calls.
This is real life.
This is real life.
Real
we're
life
not
live.
Lying to you. Okay.
505-338-3700, the phone number. I'm going to read an email question and you guys are going to answer it.
I'm not.
Okay.
All right, fine.
Where are we going?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to take the newest one that we have. Well, they're all novels. Okay. Let's just do a fun one. Here
okay.
we go.
Okay.
Is it a lie and hence a sin to check the box that says you have read the terms of agreement if you have not read it?
Is it a lie? Are you sinning every time you hit accept on iTunes when you haven't really
Well, this is the thing. It's changed now. If you notice now, it no longer says, I have read. It says, I accept the terms of agreement is now what it says.
Yeah.
So they changed it. And so I can click it even if I haven't read it and say, yes, I accept it. I might not know what I'm accepting. And so they might come down to me like a year from now and say, okay, hey, we need your spleen. Well, why? Because you said that you accepted our terms and we have to have it now. That could happen, but
that really could.
I'm accepting of that because I've clicked it, you know?
It's like 54 pages of exceptions.
This is what I accept. I accept whatever consequences come from me not having to read 54 pages of crap.
Yeah,
that's what
dude.
I accept.
Is it a lie to check that box? What do you think? You have read and accept the terms of agreement.
I don't know about all that. I think somebody was just trying to play stump.
I do think.
No, no, he says sorry if the question seems silly.
I do think it tells us to let our yes and our no be no, and so we probably should be careful what we're accepting and agreeing upon.
Well, yeah.
Because there could be some crazy
but
stuff.
But if you're signing up for
South Park, I know.
I mean, there's different levels of consequence. So say I accept the terms and conditions of iTunes.
Right.
You know, the most I'm going to have to deal with is, oh, what is this stupid new layout? Yeah. Where am I even supposed, what is this?
Yeah, but what if you get this random charge and it was like, well, you accepted the terms. So sorry, this is the yearly.
Or someone just downloads U2's new album onto your iPhone without you wanting it.
Who even knows about
what the crap?
I don't even know.
It was a great record, guys!
I felt violated by Bono.
Stop it.
I think if they were going to charge for that there would be like a pre-release on major news sites that say, hey, don't click this. There's a charge.
Yeah.
But then you think about accepting the terms of like a long-term agreement where you are paying. That's a different scenario.
Or like at the hospital where like they say like, you know, if something happens, then we're going to knock you out and take all your organs.
Right.
And don't donate them to someone.
To science.
What is that, Mexico? Where does that happen?
No, that's the DMV. Don't be a organ donor.
That's the DMV here.
I don't know
Mexico?
If that's true, yeah. But I was talking to someone. They said that, you know, when you're an organ donor, they are much. They're not as motivated to
I'm an organ donor. Shut up. Are you being serious right now? I really am an organ donor. I've got that little heart on my driver's license.
Might be an urban legend, but that's what I've heard.
Hey, why would they be less inclined to help me?
Because, like, let's say you're dying and someone needs your heart and you're the only person that has a heart. They'll, like, push the family, like, hey, you know, like, if, what, usually what it is if you're on life support. They'll be like, you know, hey, if you pull life support, someone could really use that heart. They could really use that heart. And so they kind of like push you and pry you because you're an organ donor and they want your organs for someone else who wants them.
Steve-O.
I'm an organ donor.
You should have read the terms of agreement.
You're going to wake up in a tub full of ice missing your bladder. That's going to happen to
sounds,
you.
Well, yeah. Considering I've had to pee for like 3 hours and I have the bladder of an infant, nobody's going to want this unless they're like 7 years
old. No, man, you're making it workable. You're road testing that thing.
It's gonna be, man, too much coffee this morning.
Be durable.
338-3700, the phone number. Is it a lie to check the box that says you brought
it? Let us know what you think. You answer this question.
That's a
for
good
us.
Question of the day, man. Facebook.com/mystaticradio. We do have a lot of questions. You want to read the novel? Get to the serious one.
Let's do it.
We've got it. We're
it's
ready.
A big question. All right.
We're ready, guys.
Hey. I need help.
Okay.
I'm 17.
What?
I know that smoking weed is bad and stuff, and I still smoke it. I don't know why. I'm not addicted or anything. I just smoke it all the time. She doesn't say that, but I just added that in there. But I don't know. That's one thing I need help with. And there's this guy that I've been texting, and I guess that all we talk about is sex. I've never had sex, and he wants to, and I kind of want to too, but I know I shouldn't. He's not even my boyfriend. Okay, this is going to be really weird to admit, because, like, usually only guys like to admit it or whatever, but I've been struggling with masturbation and porn, and I want to stop. And because I do that, I'm afraid that I'm going to have sex for the pleasure. I know I shouldn't, but I might. I grew up in a Christian home, so I kind of know all about it. I've been struggling with these for about a year and a half. It feels like almost every day or week, it feels like I've asked God to forgive me. I said that I would stop and stuff, but I haven't. It feels like he's okay with it now, like he doesn't care if I do it. It feels like he's tired of forgiving me over and over for again for the same thing. Please help me. I'm tired of how I feel. I don't know who else to ask. Can we keep this private? Like, I know that on Theology Thursday, you guys like to talk with all the people's problems on the radio, but my family listens to that station, and they might find out it's me, and I will be in trouble. Or, like, change my name if you want to talk about it. I just want some help.
Totally not going to say your name. Promise. Wow. That was a lot. Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back, Nate.
Dude, we got like three questions.
That's
sexting,
so many.
We got sexting, we got masturbation, we got drugs.
But I feel like it's all summed up in one thing, because she said, I feel. I think this is my, she's projecting her thoughts onto God, saying, I feel like he's tired of forgiving me. I feel like he's just okay with it. Yeah. I feel, so at the very core of it, she has a very, very sad false understanding of the character of God.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even more so when I read this, she says, I grew up in a Christian home, I'm a Christian, but I look at this and I don't see any difference between your life and the life of a non-believer, honestly, at all. I really don't see any difference. And the Bible talks about, we've talked about this at length before, justification and sanctification. And it's one thing to grow up in a Christian home, but that doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. It's one thing to, you know, go down an altar and say a prayer to accept Jesus Christ, but even that doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven if that justification does not lead to sanctification. The Bible is very clear when it talks about the seeds that were sown, and some seeds were sown on rocky ground, some were sown where there was thorn bushes that the second it exhibited some life, it was quenched out and it died. And so it's not enough to just love God with your lips. You've got to love God with your life.
Yeah.
And I think right now your core issue is really just the symptoms of the problem. You've got all these symptoms. You've got, you know, the symptom of masturbation, the symptom of wanting to do drugs. And you say you're not addicted, but you say you smoke pot all the time. So it sounds like you're addicted.
Yeah, that's weird. There's been this case studies we were reading up on that they're talking, because it was always like, you can't be addicted to weed. And recently we were just talking about this.
I pulled it up.
Okay, good.
So here's the deal. And this was released like last week or this week, and it was updated today. So the terrible truths about cannabis. This is an expert's devastating 20-year study that finally demolishes claims that smoking pot is harmless. And this is from a UK website. So I'll go in and do some, because sometimes these things come out and they turn out to be fake. But just for the sake of reading it, 1 in 16 teenagers who regularly smoke the drug become dependent. It doubles risk of developing psychotic disorders, including schizophrenia. Heavy use in adolescence appears to impair intellectual development. Driving after smoking cannabis doubles risk of having a car crash.
Now, let's just be fair with that last one. Are we really surprised that it diminishes your...
I mean,
you would think. You ever met a like a pothead and you're like, man, that guy's really smart.
Hey.
That guy just coming across as really well-read.
I'm really well-read. I was like, in high school, I, to be very plain with this person, I was in that boat of almost daily usage. I really was. It took, and so I, as somebody who did smoke a lot of weed, I could say, anybody who tells you it's not addictive, is either kidding themselves because they're like, I could stop anytime I want. Or B is kidding themselves because I was there, but I've also seen the power of the Lord to restore my heart and my mind because, it's been, you know, many years, obviously, but, gosh, sorry, I didn't want to.
That's just a lot of, this was a 20 year, study conducted by a guy named, Professor Wayne Hall, the World Health Organization.
Wow.
I guess this was over in London. He's a leading expert in addiction at King's College in London.
But again, what we talked about before, that's just one of the symptoms of the core issue. The core issue here is that we are all fallen from the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who does good. There is none who understands. The core condition is that we are a sinful people. And true salvation, a true relationship with Christ, will see a change in that character. So I would ask you, in your life, what changes have you seen? And you might say, you know what, the only changes I've seen in the past 10 years, I've gotten worse. Well, if that's the case and you see that things just seem to get worse, then the question really isn't how do I fix these things in my life. The question is, how do I fix me? Because it sounds to me like you need a real relationship with Christ, not something where it's like, oh, you know, I go to church. Oh, you know, I've, you know, my parents are Christians. I'm from a Christian home. What is your real relationship like with Christ? You know, what is your hunger and thirst like for righteousness, for reading the Bible, for being connected to a body of believers? If it's just a thing you do and you're like, man, I do this thing and it kind of makes me feel bad about the other things I do, well, then that's not a very compelling reason. And it sounds to me like your real issue, honestly, isn't pot smoking, isn't masturbation, isn't sexting. Those are just symptoms of the real issue, and that's that you're a sinful person who needs the forgiving power of Jesus Christ.
And it feels, it just sounds like you're trying to fill some serious void in your life with these many different things. One thing that's very heartbreaking as a parent, one of the hardest aspects of hearing that email from her is, grew up in a Christian home. Can you please not say my name? My parents listen to the station and don't want them to know it's me. That sucks as a dad to hear that your children are going to battle and fight. And I pray that when my kids have issues, they'd be willing to come talk to me. Because if it is a Christian home, we talk about being that unshockable listener.
Yeah.
This is like a call out to parents.
Totally.
If your child...
This could be your child.
This could be your kid. And if you are raising them in an environment where they are not comfortable to talk to you about their pains and their hurts, freaking shame on you, man.
So I think any parent that's listening right now, have a conversation with your kid tonight, because again, we're not going to say the name.
No.
But this could be your kid. So think about right now that we just read this and picture that that is your child.
There's a 17-year-old daughter out there who is hurting, who has turned
or
to
a son.
Masturbation, or a son, we don't know. Turned to masturbation, turned to, well, she says that, you know, usually only dudes struggle with it, and this is her saying she, but you're right, there
well,
could be.
I don't know. There might be other challenges there.
So we're talking about drugs. We're talking about, hey, one thing, she's still a virgin at this point, according to this email.
Yeah.
But she's on the cusp.
And you know why?
It's so sad.
I think as we're growing up, we always say, man, I want to be an unshockable listener for my kids. But honestly, most of us aren't.
And most of us just don't want to.
And this is what happens. And you say, well, yes, I am. Well, how do you respond when your daughter or your son says, hey, I want to date this guy or this girl? Is your response, no, you're not dating until you're this age. Okay, what you just did by saying that and exhibiting that kind of behavior is you're showing your kids that they can't talk to you about this stuff in their life because you're going to respond rashly in anger and with emotions.
Absolutely.
So what happens is a lot of times we say we want to be these unshockable listeners. We say we want our kids to talk to us. But what we show our kids is that they cannot talk to us about those things.
Yeah.
That if they talk to us about those things, they're going to get a wrathful angry parent. And mm-hmm. so what happens is the kids avoid us. And so you gotta start having these real conversations from a young age. You know, I was just with Sean McDowell in town, and I was talking to him, and I had heard this story from his dad, and I just wanted to ask him about it as well. Josh used to take his kids on walks, and they'd walk in Venice Beach. And he took, you know, 17-year-old Sean on a walk one day and pointed to, a graffiti on the wall that said F-U-C-K.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, "Son, what does that say?" And Sean said the word. And he said, "Son, do you know what that word means?" And Sean said, "No." And he said, "Okay, let's sit down." And they sat down in front of this giant graffitied F word on the wall. And Whoa. they began at 7 years old to have a conversation about what the F word means, how it's been perverted in our culture, what a godly view of relationship and sex looks like. And what he did by that little act, he showed his kid, "Dad can talk to me about anything.
Amen.
Dad will have a conversation with me, a real rational conversation with me." And so when you have conversations like that with your kids, mm-hmm. you know, let's say you go to a movie and there's a bad word. Instead of saying earmuffs, why don't you talk to your kids about what that word means and why that word's perverted?
Yep.
You know, when you have to shield their eyes, why don't you talk to your kids about what the sanctity of sex looks like? You know, when you walk through life with your kids, don't view it as an opportunity to shelter them. View it as an opportunity to explain to them what reality and what the Bible says about reality looks like.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Bible is very upfront about the condition of mankind. And so we can let our kids live in this world, be very upfront with them with the condition that mankind is in, but yet show them the love of Christ that is within that.
And parents, let me tell you something. I grew up in a home of "because the Bible says so," which meant nothing to me because I didn't understand the why behind that. I didn't know why God wanted me to save sex for marriage. I didn't understand what it meant to have a true relationship like that. I didn't understand why I couldn't do these things. I just knew that the Bible says not to.
Yeah.
Parents, you need to freaking educate yourself on why. You need to discover
and not even
that.
On why, on what. Because a lot of parents, honestly, don't really have great biblical literacy.
The truth.
So they tell their kids,
true.
They tell their kids, "Well, you shouldn't have sex." Why? Because the Bible says so. But they don't tell their kids where in the Bible it says that. Or maybe say, "You know what? I'm going to open up to a passage of scripture and we're going to have a little family devo right now and we're going to exposit the word of God."
Mm-hmm.
You know, the problem of biblical literacy isn't just in kids and youth of the day. It's in their parents as well.
Absolutely.
And honestly, most parents don't know their Bible well enough to have any authority to tell their kids what not to do.
Yeah. And kids can see right through that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not authentic.
So if you want to have a real godly relationship with your children, learn the Bible better.
Yeah.
You know, learn what the Bible says, learn how to interpret the Bible, learn how to exposit the Bible. I'm not telling you got to become a pastor, but I'm telling you, you've got to have a good understanding of what the Bible says. Otherwise, you're going to lose all authority within that situation. You know,
yeah.
It seems like a lot of parents know the verse where it says, "Honor your father and mother," and that becomes the catch-all for everything. Well, don't have sex. Why? Because the Bible says so. Where? Well, it says honor your father and mother, so don't have sex.
Yeah.
You know, and it becomes kind of the catch-all for don't do anything that I say.
Yeah.
Instead of walking with them why the Bible tells us not to have sex, why the Bible tells us, you know, not to date unbelievers, you know, these kind of things, it's really important. So,
very important.
And the cure for a lot of parents is, okay, well, I just got to get my kid involved in the youth group. Okay, I just got to get my kid involved in some kind of extracurricular activity, and they'll take care of it. So the parents don't want the onus of having these conversations with their kids. They want their youth pastors, too.
Yeah.
And I used to do a lot of counseling, and parents would come in and say, "Hey, Nate, will you talk to my son about sex?" And my conversation was always first, "Well, how have you talked to your son about sex?" "Well, I haven't." "Why not?"
Yeah.
And you know, there needs to be a conversation had not just with the kids, but with the parents.
Yep.
You know, have these conversations with your kids. Look, you've got a unique opportunity with this child to form their understanding and their worldview.
Mm-hmm.
God is giving you this opportunity, and you can either invest that opportunity or you can squander it. And you say, "Well, I'm too scared to talk about sex or masturbation or cutting or pornography with my kids." Guess what? If you don't talk to them, someone will.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the opportunity to get in on the ground floor before they hear it from their friends, before they hear it from TV in the world, and get a secular view of these things,
yeah.
You can give them the Christian view.
Your dad recently quoted Tozer in saying that if someone can talk you into something, someone smarter can talk you out of it. Don't be that parent that's trying to talk your kids into Jesus, that's trying to talk your kids into Christianity. And I'm coming at you as a father of three boys, one about to be 11, 8, and I'll tell you right now, very bluntly, we have had open conversations about sex. If you need somewhere to start, I'll help you. Mm. I had some really great advice from two solid dudes who are fathers who really, really were very instrumental in my life as far as helping me to be able to openly speak to my kids, because it is kind of scary. Yeah. And again, for the 17-year-old, you sent this incredible email, this cry out saying, I need help. I don't know where to go. I know I'm going to be in trouble. And as much as it sucks for me to say this, maybe that's the conversation that needs to be told to your parents. Maybe you do need to sit down and have that conversation, because as you said, you can't break it. You can't. That's because you're fighting all of this alone. You're fighting all of this by yourself. It's bottled up because it's so terrifying. You have no one to run to. You need accountability.
Yeah, and you know what I'm going to give you advice to do first, before you talk to your parents, I'm going to give you advice to come here to Calvary Albuquerque and talk to a pastor named Jesse Lusco. He's our high school youth pastor, and he deals with a lot of kids who are struggling with the same thing you are. And I think you could really benefit from sitting down with a pastor like Jesse and talking through some of these issues. So I'm going to ask you, girl who I will not say your name, the girl who shall not be named, to give a call into Calvary Albuquerque and set up an appointment with Jesse Lusco, because I think if you do that, it's going to really benefit you. And again, I think the real issue here is a heart issue, and I think that the things that you're struggling with are just an outworking of your heart. And I know that sounds pretty harsh, but that's what the Bible says. You know, the Bible says that true justification will lead to sanctification. Mm-hmm. If you're in the light, you're going to walk in the light. And it doesn't seem like you're walking in the light. And so that's why I say that, not to be a bully, but to you know, a lot of times we try to fix the symptoms, not the issue. You know, it's like having cancer and trying to put a Band-Aid on a sore. It does no good to your overall condition. And so I think that you really need to sit down and talk with a pastor.
I love what you said there, too, because Pastor Jesse is a phenomenal dude, very unshockable listener. And again, walking in the light does not mean that you have to walk outside and tell everybody on your bus what you're going through, or everybody in your class what you're going through, or all of your friends, or your church, or everyone. Because I think there's this idea that, man, if I'm going to be a Christian, I have to tell everything what's going on in my heart every moment of the day. And there's got to be discernment with who you approach, because unfortunately there's a lot of wounds and hurts that can come with being that open, if you will, to share. Mm. Yeah.
I wanted to play a song, but I don't know how to work this thing. You should teach me how to work it sometimes. So, while you're talking, I can go, because sometimes when I'm talking, you go in search, you play a little song, it looks so cool. But I want to be able to do that.
I'm sorry. Would it be like a serious, or are you trying to be funny now?
How do I do it?
I don't know.
Press the button.
You want to
insert a song? Yeah. Okay. Artist. Title.
Okay. Hold on.
Pastor Nate.
How do I just scroll? Oh, wait. No.
Oh, I already know what you wanted. I already know. I already know where you're going. Let me help you, buddy, because we have a similar brain.
Okay. You guys have a Blaine?
Yeah, we have a Blaine.
Where'd you get that?
Right there. And then you go, boom.
Okay. Perfect.
Listen. You just need to be in the light.
You just got to hear some words from two honks and a Negro. They got some truth they want to speak into your life. They want to share the truth of the light.
I'm so glad we could share for like 20 minutes seriously and then dismantle it all with some DC talk.
There it is.
I keep trying to find a light.
Yeah.
On my own.
Let's just let this song play, because it really is kind of have some good lyrics. Yeah, let's just do it. Come on.
I didn't grow up with this.
Listen. Did you just hear what he said?
Why do we even have a show?
What's going on inside of me?
Maybe if you just played DC Talk all day, you wouldn't even have to have DJs.
We wouldn't even need real conversations.
No, you could just play DC Talk all day.
That's what my mom thought growing up.
Yeah.
I want to be in the light.
Yes, I do. I want to be in the light. In the light.
I like them harmonies, man.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, be my light.
That's K-Man.
My salvation.
That's all you need. Gosh. That's all you need, guys.
Well, but now think about
this.
Why
do we have an hour-long show when we could just answer all questions
with the
DC
Talk songs? Right?
Get another email. I bet you we could answer another question with DC Talk lyrics.
Every attempt on my behalf has failed.
I'm going to try that. Hold on. I want to read the lyrics of this song really quick, because I think that's really important to the sanctity of this show.
Stop it right now!
Let's go. No, I'm actually kind of being serious right now. We can turn it down now. But seriously, you know, we're talking about this idea.
Yeah.
The opening lyrics of the verse of the song really are very true. And I know it's cheesy, I know it's funny, but it's true. He says, I keep trying to find a life on my own apart from you.
Yeah.
I'm the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do.
Yes.
What's going on inside of me? I despise my own behavior. It only serves to confirm my suspicion that I'm still a man in need of a savior.
Yeah.
That's good truth, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I agree.
I love DC Talk.
I know you do. I know you do. It's Shock Therapy Live. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. Solid reintroduction of show, man.
Yeah. That,
you know what? Honestly, thanks to the 17-year-old who sent that email, because you could have just continued in your sin. You could have continued doing what you're doing day in and day out, and you took that initial step, at least, of emailing someone. I don't care if it's anonymous. You sent it in, trying to be vulnerable for 8 seconds and say, look, this is my life and I'm not okay with it. I'm uncomfortable with it. You know what you're doing is wrong, in that you want to be anonymous. You don't want your parents to find out. I mean, you know what you're doing is not okay. Mm. So there's got to be something. There's got to be some change. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338.
Do we need to take a break?
3700. Yeah, we haven't even taken a break yet.
Dude.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. Coming back. Email questions. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. It's Shock Therapy Live on Static.
The 2014 Winter Jam Tour Spectacular with Hillsong United. There are no tickets required, just $10 at the door.
7 o'clock, Thursday night, November 6th at Santa Ana Star Center.
Hillsong United and Jeremy Camp. Francesca Battistelli. Plus Colton Dixon and hosted by New Song. Also featuring disciple Trip Lee and speaker Tony Nolan. The largest Christian concert of the year. Text it, tweet it, pin it, or like it. No tickets required. Just $10 at the door. The pre-jam party starts early. International presents the 2014 Winter Jam Tour Spectacular.
November 6th at the Santa Ana Star Center. Welcome by Static Radio.
Hillsong United, Jeremy Camp, Francesca Battistelli, plus Colton Dixon. Details at jamtour.com.
There are powerful forces that are working against our family.
Our family.
Skip Heitzig puts his finger right on a core problem. I don't need to tell you that the media, the fashion industry, the lyrics to certain music aren't too pro-family. These are things that fight against what the biblical model of a family is.
Hotspot.
Well, one of the greatest challenges in our culture, and it's going to be even way more in the future, is the issue of abandoned children.
Stunning statistics from Skip.
Worldwide, there are 70 million street or abandoned children.
Hotspot.
In our country, the good old US of A, 1.5 million children, teenagers, and young adults are on US streets.
1.5 million.
How do we provide security for them? One answer, two words. Parental involvement.
More from Skip on his podcast. Subscribe on your mobile device at connectiononline.org.
Connection Communications.
Enrolling now for AMP 2014.
The Academy of Media Ministry and Production. Seeking those that might have an interest in radio broadcasting. You'll find AMP applications available right now online at mystaticradio.com, kmkt.com, or at the calvaryabq.org website in the news section. Or pick up an application in person at our studios, 4001 Osuna Northeast. AMP classes begin October 13th, then run once a week for 6 weeks. If this sounds like a fit for you, take the next step and do AMP with Connection Communications.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back.
We are back to Shock Therapy Live.
Hey.
Did we just get a new email?
We did.
You can email us studio@mystaticradio.com.
Nope.
Oh, that's for our... We're going to Volcano Vista today. Okay.
The librarian emailed you.
The librarian at Volcano Vista wants us to go visit her.
Nice!
That's for real.
Shh!
Sorry.
Shh!
Sorry.
Nice.
Librarians scare me after seeing Monsters University. Did you guys see Monsters University?
Yes.
That movie was awesome. I loved that movie. Anyway.
Librarians are always a little scary. Like, anytime there's a horror movie, I always expect the librarian has something to do with it.
Always. Always. Because you know they do. You know they do. It's Shock Therapy Live. Phone lines are open. 505.
You just used Arrow voice again.
338-3700.
You have failed this city. I'm Batman.
Yep, pretty much.
I've got
Arrow
a cold.
Is basically the Batman television show with Green Arrow. I love it.
Mm. Which kind of makes me mad that DC literally copied their own character. Like, I understand when DC and Marvel copy characters from each other.
Yeah.
But they literally copied their own character and gave him a bow and said, okay, you can kill people.
Just wait till season two.
Yeah, just wait, buddy.
Just wait. So
even this season with them like trying to destroy the Glades, like, was that not Ra's al Ghul? Like trying to destroy the city with some kind of a device that would destroy the entire city because the city was too corrupt and it had to be killed?
Just wait.
Just wait for season two.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't have called that. I don't know what you're talking about. 505-338-3700. That's
505-338-3700.
Yeah.
00.
Memonides. Call. It is Shock Therapy Live.
If I have values.
If you have no idea what we're talking about, that's because we've been on hiatus since May. We're excited to be back. Pastor Nate Heitzig's in studio. We're taking your questions unshockably, if you will. And yes, it is definitely a heavier show, so might not be for the young ones. But we want to get to at least another email question if we have time. What do we got?
I was recently at a wedding at Delancey Street. A rehab facility with a venue for rent near Espanola. And I thought it was interesting to see that they had residents of the facility working to set up the wedding, but certain residents had to be away from the venue at a certain time when alcohol arrived, and others stayed to even help serve the food and drinks. I thought it was amazing to see it was a place for help with addiction, but also had job opportunities, but seemed like the venue would be a terrible temptation. Do you have any thoughts on this?
On temptation and being... I understand what he's saying.
On having a rehab facility that serves alcohol.
Man, that's okay.
They don't really serve alcohol. So it's a rehab facility that they rent out their facility for people to do weddings and events at.
Yeah.
And they have the residents help out and serve at the event. But you could be at an event that serves alcohol.
Yeah. And so are you asking...
You know what I think? I actually think it's kind of cool. And here's why.
Uh-huh.
The purpose of rehab is to eventually get someone back out into society.
Yeah.
And if you put someone in a situation where they're completely away from it and they never have to – this is the thing.
Christian
Bumble. If you're in a place where you never have to even come close to it, then of course you're not going to do it. But what's going to happen when you get outside of that bubble and you go into the real world and you do have to go to a restaurant and there is alcohol there and you have to choose not to order it?
Right.
You know? So I think in a situation like this, it seems like, you know, they have it set up in parameters that if you're there for alcohol addiction, when it comes time for them to serve food – you're not allowed to be anywhere near that area. So they do separate it. They don't be like, hey, so you struggle with alcoholism. Well, why don't you serve the drinks tonight?
Yeah.
You know, they're not doing that. But at the same time, I think it does give them a little exposure to the real world and a chance to kind of experience what it's going to be like when they get back out into the world.
Man. So
what do you guys think?
I believe the question really is, what if I stumble?
Oh, that was perfect.
Guys, come on.
That was a perfect segue.
You can't answer.
That was a perfect segue, Steve-O.
You can't answer every
song.
Look
at that. You're acting like you don't really know DC Talk, but you knew exactly what to play.
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
Dude,
how did you do that?
I'm just a huge Alice in Chains fan.
Oh, got it.
For the people. Answering all questions today with DC Talk songs.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Both of you failed. Because I somehow got that one.
Yeah, that's...
And I've never owned a single DC Talk record.
That's pretty crazy. I was Googling DC Talk and unfortunately did not hear the question. But thing was...
I love that you were Googling DC Talk too.
I was. I'm like, stumbling block, stumble. What if I stumble? Oh!
That's a great song. Number one, that's a great song.
Right.
Number two, DC Talk is surrounded by so much controversy.
Really?
Yeah, because people just... They were one of the first Christian bands that broke out like big time, not only in Christian market, you know? And so they just got slaughtered by like hardcore.
That sucks.
They were like, man, you guys have sold. That was back during the whole sold out conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that wasn't just a Christian conversation. I remember like the punk rock community, you know, like pop punk bands had sold out, and like the whole sold out thing was this huge. So DC Talk surrounded by controversy in the late 90s.
Unreal.
Yeah.
What do I think about a venue serving alcohol? Well, it's like the idea of stumbling blocks and putting stumbling blocks in somebody's path. Mm. If we know of friends who struggle with certain things, of course not. I don't think if I have any alcoholic friends, quote unquote, and I know that a buddy is having a barbecue and there's potentially going to be alcohol there, would I invite that friend to the barbecue? No. Absolutely not, because we don't ever want to be that stumbling block. But for a venue that is a rehab facility, renting it out and there was alcohol there, that's just an interesting...
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to just ask them, I guess. I can't really speak to why they would do that,
yeah,
per se.
I don't know.
Would I? Probably not.
Not if it's a rehab facility.
We just talked to our boy Doug, who for many, many years was with the Albuquerque Rescue Mission. He started a new ministry called Next Step, and it's the next step. You know, what do you do? Okay, you've gone through the 12-step program. Now you're trying to reintegrate into society. What do you do? I was talking to him this very week about, you know, all the crazy things he just never thought he would have, like drug test things in his car and you know, ways to check for alcohol and all these things. Because it's a very scary thing when you're reintegrating into society. If it's difficult, which it is, because it's it's really difficult. People usually go back to what they know.
Yep.
And so if you're potentially putting that in someone's face, that's unhealthy at the least, I would say. Right?
Yeah.
Gosh,
that's
tough.
That's just a weird situation.
Yeah.
They must have to pay some bills or something. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know if a single alcoholic would be like, you know what, bro, I'm just trying to reintegrate back into society, trying to make some quick cash, bartender.
Yeah.
I just don't know of anybody that would do that. That would be foolish.
But it doesn't look like they're doing that. Again, they say that once the event comes to the alcohol part, the residents who struggle with that aren't allowed to be anywhere in the area.
Okay. Yeah. So... Yeah, I mean, what are our thoughts on this? Not much, really. I don't really put a whole lot of thought into it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
505-338-3700, the phone number, or of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. It is our first show back, for some months now, actually. It's been a while. While we have your ears, we would like to ask that you pray for our midday host, Mitch. She was in the hospital last night with kidney stones.
Oof.
So A, that sucks. B, she was admitted. So C, I know what the bill on that, because we have the same insurance. And it sucks.
Oh.
So,
is she on the PPO or the HMO though?
She's on the one that it costs $1,000.
Oh, she is.
Yeah. So I know that for a fact because, you know, her and her husband were talking about it this morning. So that's a blow, especially with everything that they're currently doing right now. And
insurance is so interesting, you know, because there's pros and cons of each one. You know, I'm on the PPO as well. I'm the one that costs a lot of money if you get sick too. But the plus with that is you can choose any doctor you want. So we have some really close friends that got an unfavorable diagnosis recently, but because they had a PPO insurance, they're able to go to John Hopkins and have their insurance cover John Hopkins. And there's not more. They're still paying the same amount they'd pay here at UNM or at Press, because with PPO, you can choose your doctor.
That's pretty fantastic.
That's huge. Whereas HMO, you're stuck with the doctors here. So let's say you get a crazy disease.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I can't go to the best doctor in the country. I got to go to the, you know, 25th best doctor in the country because that's what my insurance will cover. So there's pros and cons to both, you know.
Dude.
Hey, we got a phone call, an insurance phone
call.
Yay!
Static!
Hey, I wanted to make a comment about the Atlantic guys and being put in temptation.
Yeah.
I've seen them work before. They do side jobs as moving. I've seen them work for some state agencies, and they work great. They're hard workers.
Yeah.
And one thing that I did notice about them is that they encourage each other. They fed off of each other. When one started, you know, falling behind, they didn't yell at him and tell him to pick up the slack. They encouraged him and, you know, patted his back, brought him back up together as a team. So I really think that it's a good idea to have there, because you're right. Once they hit society and they, you know, end up at a barbecue with booze, then there goes the problem all over.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, not everyone in your life is super high-fiving you when you're trying to kick habits like that, because 9 times out of 10, half the reason you got into it in the first place is your crew. Are the friends around you? Are the influences around you? And so you've got to, when you're reintegrating back into society, if you will, you've got to find a whole new set of friends. Yeah. You got all these things, and it's so easy to go back to what you know. And those friends are not going to be quick to be like, oh man, 40 days? That's amazing. Have a Bud Light. Check it out. Just one. Come on, bro. It's just one. You're not going to fall, you know, like, they're not going to understand that. So thanks for the words.
No problem.
All right, man. 505-338-3700. I feel like that's partially, not partially, I feel like that's probably why, I'm just being funny, the Lord talks so much about the counsel you keep. I mean, truly. As it says in Scripture, we know that bad company corrupts good moral character. I think of so many times, I was part of a bowling league simply because it was Tuesday nights and that was $2 you call it.
Dude, it's a good reason.
It was a great reason at the time. I thought it was a fantastic reason. I had to quit my bowling league.
And I was never in a bowling league because that's lame.
Yeah, but
agree.
It's not lame when you're not a believer and it's $2 Tuesdays.
Still lame.
Just saying.
Yeah. Bowling.
It was pretty great. I loved it at the time. I thought it was fantastic. Obviously, not a lot of those guys in the bowling league understood why I had to completely just quit the league. It's like, dude, just don't come. Or just don't drink. And it's like,
This is the thing. I say it's lame, but I would totally be in a bowling league.
It was awesome.
I'll start a bowling league with you guys.
I'm not good enough to be in a bowling
league. Can we do it on Tuesdays?
Yes.
Sweet. All right.
I bet you know where to have it.
If you missed any part of the show, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. We back, y'all.
Can we start a chain gang?
Can we start chain mail?
Start a chain gang wearing chain mail?
Yes.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.